That's good timing because I just finished my salad.
Oh, we're not here. This won't be 4 weeks in a row of Martin eating food. What?
How rude. I would never do such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a break, Nick.
Eating edibles on the show? Approved. Eating food? Not approved.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have a question for you. As the leader, the head honcho of the Nerdy Legion podcast, got two questions for you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Martin Ferretti?
I'm listening.
Is the Nerdy Legion podcast hosted by Martin Ferretti? It's a this or that. Is the Nerdy Legion podcast hosted by Martin Ferretti in the banana hammock? Is the show more like Charlie's Angels or Magnum P.I.?
Magnum P.I., of course.
Really? Well, yeah. Then who am I?
You're Magnum. It's your show.
No way. You're Magnum. I'll happily be Higgins. That sweet mustache? Come on. And who pulls off a white pantsuit better than Higgins? Come on.
Higgins does wear that sweet pantsuit. Uh-huh. I'll give you that.
Hell yeah. Cosplay idea 2020. See. Hello.
See, Ronnie, that's what we should have done for your wedding. Shame on you. Very good.
Is the Nerdy Legion podcast hosted by Martin Ferretti? Is it Leave It to Beaver or is it Laverne and Shirley?
Oh, wow. That's a hard one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go Laverne and Shirley.
Ooh, okay. Do tell.
I don't know. It makes more sense to me than it'd be Laverne and Shirley because we're a power duo.
That's true.
You know, and we're a spinoff of another podcast.
True, but I would like to call you the Beef every once in a while.
I mean, you can call me the Beef if you want.
All right, approved. Nerdy Legion approved. Okay, bonus question for Martin Ferretti, host of the Nerdy Legion podcast. Is the Nerdy Legion podcast more like, and this is a threesome, by the way, this is a threer, three-peat, so tell me, give me your reasoning. Is the Nerdy Legion podcast, hosted by Martin Ferretti, more like The Love Boat, Fantasy Island, or Love American Style?
I am going to go with Fantasy Island because we make everyone's dreams come true.
Oh, put that on a t-shirt, Ronnie. Love American Style, doing it over one blue.
By the way, in that scenario, you are Ricardo Montalban and I am Tattoo.
Dang it, I always wanted to be Hervé Villechaize. He was in that sweet Bond movie. Come on.
Oh, he was. I forgot about that.
Yeah, but then I'll be in Star Trek. Hello.
Oh, who would you be in Star Trek?
Wasn't that Ricardo Montalban?
Oh, yeah, he was. He was Khan? Yeah, he was Khan.
Yeah, I'll be Khan. Khan kicks ass. Come on.
Hey, now I'm jealous.
And you know, if it was up to me and fashion allowed it, you know I'd be wearing that scoop neck shirt showing my chest off, just like Khan did. Did you remember that outfit he wore? It was like a half circle showing off his chest, like just barely above the nips, but it was like a perfect circle. It's like, is future space fashion that odd? Because that was a very strange costume.
Is it though? I mean, did you see what people wore in the 70s and the 80s?
Well, Ricardo Montalban did have a sweet ass chest and his, skin tone was like Corinthian leather.
Ooh.
As he once said on his, what was it, Chrysler commercial?
Did he really? I don't remember that.
This is like Corinthian leather.
Very good, very good. I don't know if you know this, Nick.
Hmm?
But we have a sponsor this week.
Oh, no, I did not. Please tell.
Yes, this week's episode of the Nerd Legion podcast brought to you by Gods and Gears, a brand new comic from Alterna, written by the one and only friend of the show, Ryan Wynn. Yes, you can get more at godsandgears.com and tell your shop to order it because it's $1.50. What's wrong with you?
Good people writing that and doing that comic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ryan and Dean Kotz is the artist. Fantastic.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. That's a good combo right there.
I told Ryan I was going to make his book the unofficial sponsor of all the shows for the next couple of weeks.
Yes. He's welcome on. I will happily plug his stuff.
Yeah, Ryan's great. Ryan is great. I'm sure you saw this. I've decided to enter the Top Cow talent hunt this year.
I did. I liked it. I retweeted it.
And lucky for me, one person named Ryan Wynn worked on a previous incarnation of the Darkness.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to get some inside tips. I'm going to get the scoops.
Interesting.
Yes.
You should have been, at my, not Darkness, but my little panel that Hawkins was at.
Oh, yeah?
At C2E2. They talked about that.
I'm excited. He's relaunching it.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I love that book. We reread that recently, right? It didn't hold up very well.
I read the first omnibus.
Yeah. It didn't hold up very well. But it's still fun.
It was a thing of its time. But I think conceptually, I think there's some cool ideas there. And I don't think they would be as clunky done today. They'd be a little bit more subtle, which would be great.
Are you talking smack about Garth Ennis?
It was a thing of its time. I'm just saying, even Garth Ennis, his writing is a little bit more subtle.
Mm.
It's not this person does bad things and he's dressed in black and every woman's bosoms are falling out of their dresses.
Very true.
But Ryan Wynn, please, more Death Betty. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
A request from me.
Death Betty, that's only 99 cents of Comixology. Why? I know. Why are people not buying that? It's 99 cents.
Yeah. Shame on them. I get he goes where the paycheck goes, but I love sub Death Betty.
Yeah, Death Betty's great.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even one for, I'm not big into comedy in my comics.
Same here.
But there's this quirkiness about Death Betty.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Allred's Mad Men.
Ah, yes.
Like, that's just about the highbrow comedy I want. I don't want it constantly in my face. But if you're going to set up a good joke and a good premise, and it's going to pay off with a comedic bit, sign me up.
See, it reminded me of an anime.
Oh, nice.
I know not a whole lot of people watch anime that listen to the show. Shame on you. You should sometimes. Watch the Godzilla movies on Netflix. They're awesome. The anime is Footy Cooty, FLCL.
Yes, you told me about that before. Well, when we were discussing Death Betty before.
That's right. We were talking about Death Betty. So I highly recommend people watch Footy Cooty. I think season one was only like 10 episodes, which is really short for an anime.
Nice.
But it's great. There's like this chick that beats up monsters with an electric guitar. There's a little kid that's growing horns out of his face. Like, there's monsters and alien invasions. It's awesome.
Something for everyone.
And it's kind of funny in a very quirky, what the hell just happened way. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Very good. So what's been up?
Oh, you know, just I'm ready to, after the last couple days, I'm ready for a giggle. A little tickle giggle.
Yeah, rough couple days?
You know, some days are better than others, buddy.
You know, so, every day is what you make of it, Nick.
There you go. But sometimes you're not making the goodness. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's out of your hands. So sometimes you reach out there and you grab that golden ring. Guess what? But you can't be in charge of that golden, how far that golden ring is away from you.
You know,
others can pull it away from you.
You can definitely find a way to make that golden ring appear in front of you. Let me tell you a story. I'm trying to see how far I can take things sometimes.
Yeah, go ahead.
And sometimes I think it works pretty well. So for some odd reason, I am convinced my boss that I need to work overnight at the office for a couple weeks. And somehow he has agreed to this. And let me tell you, it's been fantastic. I've been doing it all week. Well, what's today? Wednesday? So 2 days, 3 days?
Nice.
It's been great. I don't think they're going to let me do it forever. but it's been nice. Let me tell you, there's something about there being nobody else around where I can get so much more done.
Yeah, I could see that. I would agree with that.
So so that's what I've been doing. So I have approval for 2 weeks.
Nice.
Which is great, because in 2 weeks is Ronnie's wedding, so then I'll be on vacation.
Well, I at my previous job, I would, because the last place I worked at, there was open cubicles, and it was everybody that thinks that they're above you has no problem coming in and interrupting. Why send an email? Why let somebody get their day going instead? Let me just swing by their desk, because obviously they don't have a million things going on, and I want this instant request.
Yeah.
So back then I would just tell my boss, I'm like, I'm going to go get a meeting room for an entire day and just hunker down and actually get work done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just disappear, which was fantastic. And I actually got twice as much work done. Not surprising.
Not surprising. Yeah, I've been enjoying it, man, because I leave when everyone's getting in there.
Nice.
So I'm like, bye. If you need me, send me an email. Check it tomorrow.
That's great. That's great. You're living a good work life.
I'm living the dream right now.
Yeah, my issues just happened about 3 hours ago. So needless to say, I'm still trying to decompress the hole that's in my chest and get back on the positive treadmill. And, you know, just and right now I can't meditate staring at my hand. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Things are a little too raw right now. So what can you do? Sometimes things are out of your control, like I said.
Yes, yes. No, I get it. It's true.
Yeah.
You can make it. You can make it a reality, Nick. I believe in you.
Hey, buddy. I've been trying to make it a reality. Sometimes you just don't know. Let's put it this way. You can be. I'll do a bad sports analogy right now. If you're in a batter's box and somebody's throwing a pitch at you, you could take that swing and make contact with that ball. But if you have no idea what they want and they're putting a blindfold on you, good luck hitting that ball.
Mm.
And sometimes that's what it feels like. You just don't know.
What's that quote from The Office that we used last week? You'll miss 100% of the shots you don't take.
There you go.
Bam.
Yeah, trust me, I took the shot, but you just don't know. Like I said, you don't know what they're looking for.
Hey.
It's a 50-50 proposition. If you don't know what the other 50% is doing, you're taking a swing blindly.
Sure, I get it.
But I'm keeping positive. So,
I get it.
You know, sooner or later, I'll be meditating into my hand a little bit. And guess what? Somewhere that universe will be like, hey, there's that rainbow unicorn that we've always wanted to work with. Come here. Come
See?
Here, friend.
That's what you need, Nick.
That is what I need.
That's what you need. When you start looking at it, it'll come to you.
Yeah. I just need to find a job that I can either work on the Love Boat or Fantasy Island, and I'd be all right.
I mean, I'm sure you can make that happen. You would be a great cruise director.
No, that's my wife. You know that. Stop. Stop. I'm more of a gopher. I wish I was as cool as Isaac the bartender, but I'm nowhere near.
You are selling yourself short, buddy.
If only I could be as good as Ted Lang.
Yes. I think everyone sells themselves short. You know what I mean? I think when you get used to things being a certain way, sometimes you're a little too concerned with what may or may not happen, Nick. I had this chat today a little bit over Twitter with David from Lion's Den Comic Shop. Shout out to him.
Mm.
Check out his website, drivingcreators.net.
Not a sponsor.
Shame on you, David. He's got an awesome website. I helped him with a couple things. He was having some issues. I was like, eh, let me look at it. And I fixed it for him. So, yeah, we were having this conversation. Because I posted a tweet this morning. You know, now we don't want to talk politics here. Let me briefly mention this. Today they officially announced impeachment proceedings. So, you know, you have people on one side saying witch hunt and the other side saying finally. And I'm on the side of, like, who really cares? And so I posted a series of tweets, and David was kind enough to reply. And, you know, I think like you, David sells himself short sometimes. I hope he doesn't mind me talking about him on a public forum like this. Anyways, too late, David. I'm doing it. He'll listen, so I'm sure he'll reply at some point. But don't ever sell yourself short, man. You know?
There's a big difference. I don't know if people interpret what I do as selling myself short. I would say that I'm pretty humble. So
you are very humble.
Sometimes I don't toot my horn as much as I should.
That's true.
But hey, it is what it is, my friend.
That's true.
Like I said, this just happened 3 hours ago, so it's the balloon's a little bit deflated, but it'll be back. You know, the rainbow and sparklers will be back in the eyes soon, so no worries.
I'll send you a box of sparklers, Nick.
Thank you, good friend.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I don't have anything going on, man. It's been a very
really?
Yeah. It's weird, right?
That is weird.
It's just like things fall into place sometimes, Nick.
Nice.
When you let them fall into place. So, you know, work's been good. Home's been good. It's been kind of weird, like, not really seeing people. Because, like, I've been getting home at, like, 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. And everyone's gone already. School and work. And then, like, take up home for dinner at, like, 6. And I'm just waking up. So, it's been interesting.
So how can you record podcasts when you're working these crazy hours?
Well, I'm recording podcasts, and then I'll edit them, and then when I'm done, I'm going to go to work.
Wow. Dedicated.
You know?
I'm impressed.
I'm trying to make my own path, Nick.
I like that.
Yeah, I'm trying to make my own path. I'm trying to be like my boy Grant Morrison. You know? Just do whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. Say whatever you want. Who cares?
I love it. I love it.
So it's been good. It's been good.
Good.
I haven't really like watched any TV per se.
It sounds like you've been really busy.
Well, yeah, I did begin a couple of great courses. Those have been really good. So I started What Is Time? It's like a 30-part series by Sean Carroll, who's one of my favorite physicists. I don't necessarily agree with everything he says, but I think he relates the material very well. So I've been going through that. Really, really well done. He goes through, like, different theories and, like, all throughout time and stuff. Very good. No pun intended. And then I started another series on the great courses called Ancient Astronomy by this astronomy professor from, I think, Mississippi. And he is a archaeoastronomer. So he studies, like, the history of astronomy. And that's been really interesting to watch as well. So, good stuff. It's cool, like, seeing some of this stuff. Like, when I say that a course on, like, ancient astronomy, that sounds a little weird. But, like, there's an episode on, like, how calendars work, for example. And that's really, really interesting. Like, the amount of math required to figure out a calendar is really interesting. It's not just a matter of, like, oh, the sun went down and the sun came up and now it's a new day. Let's make a calendar out of that. It's much more complicated than that. So I've been really enjoying it.
Cool.
And aside from that, I did watch the Kong Langing documentary that you recommended.
All right.
So I definitely want to talk about that. It was actually really interesting. I didn't realize, but it was produced by David Peterson. And I would say David's one of the more famous linguists right now. He created Dothraki and Valyrian for Game of Thrones. He created Trigadislong for The 100. He does a lot of language work.
Wow.
And so he was a producer of that. And because of that, they had our boy Jason Momoa on the documentary talking about learning Dothraki. Because in Game of Thrones, he didn't have any English lines. It was all in Dothraki. And I believe he won an Emmy for that. So he talked a little bit about that, and the documentary was really interesting. It was in some ways really basic, so I think it's very approachable even for someone that has no idea about linguistics or conlanging. But like as the documentary progressed, it got really interesting, talking about like why people create writing systems and like world building, a little bit of like fantasy stuff in relation to like D&D, for example, but not a whole lot. So like if you're a D&D guy, like, oh, D&D stuff, I want to hear about this. You're not going to get a whole lot. But in terms of the world building stuff, it was very cool. And then it ends kind of on this segment about how, like, conlanging, the way that conlangers create communities in order to learn these made-up languages is helping the effort on, like, preserving endangered languages. Like languages from Amazonian tribes or, you know, like African tribes or whatever. Because some of the tools that people are creating to teach their own made-up language, the way that it's done, it helps acquire new speakers to the language. And a lot of these endangered languages from, like, smaller tribes, for example, the problem is kids don't learn the language because they have to go to normal school and get normal jobs, right? Like, they can't just live in the village. So they have no reason to learn their indigenous language. But by using some of these tools, like, they're able to create schools for kids to learn in their native language and their digital language. And it was really fascinating. I was very pleasantly surprised about how well it ended. And cinematography, like, was really good in this documentary. I was very pleased.
Cool.
I was a little concerned when the narrator popped up at the beginning.
Uh-oh.
Because he didn't seem very interesting.
Sure.
But you don't see him the rest of the documentary, right? Like, you hear him doing interviews, but it's mostly, like, the reactions and answers to questions that you see, and not so much his questions.
Gotcha. I'm just picturing, like, Carl Sagan at the beginning of his specials. Like, oh boy, what am I in for? And then you get into the show and it's like, oh, okay, now I see what I'm in for.
Yes. But yeah, very good. I highly recommend it. If you're just, like, mildly curious, and I think anyone listening to this probably is mildly curious, because for some reason you listen to this garbage, then you should check it out. You know, people that listen to this, like, you know, they have a lot of nerdy interests. A lot of people come here for comics, which is why sometimes we talk comics. You know, sci-fi, fantasy, stuff like that. And I think a lot of things, like, really relate to what this documentary is saying about language creation. So,
it's scary how deep down that thing was buried when I was searching for documentaries. Like, it was part of those Amazon Prime documentaries when you're going through, like, a section that you look at and it's like, was this filmed on someone's, like, 8mm camera with just them against a white wall talking about the band Oasis for 50 minutes?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was so far down. So to hear that it actually has, like, professional, like, value, that's impressive.
Yeah. Well done.
Need to fix their search rhythm algorithm. Holy mackerel. Come on, Amazon.
Yeah, shame on Amazon. You know, they got a bunch of new stuff coming out. Did you see all the stuff they announced?
Yes.
There's like an Echo Ring, which seems weird.
Yeah.
But I like the earbuds. I might get those. I'm thinking about it.
Nice.
I think I told you, my wife got the Echo Car thing, Echo Auto.
Oh yeah, you did tell me that.
Yeah, she never uses it. I don't want it in my car. So,
did you see the new? I think there were two new trailers out this week for Apple TV products.
Oh no!
One of them was M. Night Shyamalan's new
really?
One.
What's that called?
Which looked actually very interesting.
What's it called?
And then there was another one about Russian space race too. It looked like the moon.
Huh.
Yeah, but M. Night Shyamalan's looked really good.
Ooh, Servant. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, I'm down.
Not enough for me to buy their service, but if they have a trial for a month, I'll watch that in the Jason Momoa one.
Huh. Why can't I find out, like, what this thing's about?
I don't really want to know what it's about. I like the trailer enough to want to watch it.
All right, I'll watch the trailers afterwards. But I do like M. Night Shyamalan a lot.
Yeah, same here.
I think he gets a lot of flack, and I understand why.
Sure.
But shame on you. You're not making movies. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. But you know my wife, she is a Apple sheeple. And just this week I was watching one of the new trailers and she was sitting there and like, I don't even think she was paying attention to the trailer, but after it was over and it flashed like on Apple TV, and you, like I said, she is a sheeple when it comes to Apple stuff. She looked over at me completely deadpan and was like, that is the most garbage service that they're just going to lose their shirt on. What are they even doing? So crazy. So I will not be able to convince her to jump on that one. Let's put it that way.
I gotcha.
But when I get a job, could I possibly be getting the Apple Games service for $60 a year? Maybe.
I will not because I don't do Apple products.
I know. I'm not asking you if you're going to do it. I already know that answer, so why would I ask?
But like if Steam had something like that, I'd be all over it.
Of course you would.
I'd be all over it. Because I thought about doing the Google one, right? But looking at some of the intricate workings of the Google service, I'm not interested.
Did you hear about – it isn't the Epic Store. Who did Half-Life? What's their store?
Yeah, that's Steam.
Was it Steam?
Yeah.
Did you hear about Jesus, there's a – and I know I'm going to get it wrong because I just – it breezed by me. And since I'm not a clickety-clack gamer, it just sort of escaped my – purview. But did you see that Steam, that there, God, I want to say it was like a court in Germany. There was a court case. God, I thought it was in Europe. It could have been in like the Netherlands. It could have been in Australia. I'm not sure. But there was a court case that, oh, it's against Valve.
Yep.
It's against Valve. Yeah. French court rules. Steam games must be able to be resold.
Which, isn't that weird?
Yeah. I'm like, what the, how can you demand something from, like, that's just crazy to me. Like, of course, all of these, like, not above board companies that might get game cards in a not too legal way and then resell them on the, you know, you go to like cheap ass gamer and all of a sudden it's like, oh, an Apple gift card for $2. It's like, how's that $2? How's what? A $10 card for $2? Like, and they do the same stuff with Steam. And it's like, how can, of course they want that to be, they want to be able to sell your games. And I'm sure for people like you who buy like Humble Bundles, sure, you might have 5 copies of Half-Life 2, but oh well, it was part of a Humble Bundle. You shouldn't be able to resell that. That's crazy.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
You should let the creator do whatever the hell they want to do with it. That's, so-
like, was there a suggestion on how this would be done, or are they just like, you got to do it?
This just came down 6 days ago, so I didn't even, like I said, I don't even pay attention to Valve or Steam, but I just heard it, and I was like, oh my God, that's crazy.
That seems like really hard to do, because with physical media, it's super easy, right? You just you just go sell it.
Right.
But how do you do it with digital goods like that? Because then Steam has to be actively involved in it, right?
Right. And what does this mean? Does this mean like my Apple Music, I can sell it to you? Oh, I'm done with that Beatles album. Let me sell it to Martin for $3.
Well, like, with anything.
That's crazy.
What about my Comixology library? Can I just start selling that?
It's a digital file, for God's sakes.
Well, can I start selling my Comixology library?
Right. That's nuts. It's just, I don't know. It's so dumb.
We have realized today, Nick, that people are stupid. Huh.
I don't know if I don't know if that was today that we realized.
Yes,
that,
we realized.
We've been podcasting for about 4 years. I'm pretty sure we hit that threshold pretty quick. And are we above that? No, we
no,
are both,
we're not.
We are both avid dum-dums. We're
yes.
at the head of the class. Hey, can I throw out what I've been reading?
Of course.
Let's go back to Halloween.
Yes. Oh, yes.
I hope you're going to be bringing it. Maybe you think about this. And I only need like 2 novel suggestions that are Halloween-y related. But let me run through what I've read. 1, Creepy Comics, number 10 from Dark Horse.
Okay.
It is all about Lovecraft. Mm. And it has a black and white story from Doug Munch and Kelly Jones. It has a Peter Bagg story. It was one page. It was really funny, though. Derek Robertson does a story. John Arcudi and Richard Corbin do a story. It's jam-packed with goodness. I'll post some pictures tonight once we get done. My other stuff that I just got done, some of it, not so good.
Really?
I read that DC House of Horror that came out a couple years ago.
Yep.
Dude, this is the stuff that, this is why you have to do horror right. And that one, for me, was not horror suspense done correctly. That was done like, oh, we're going to turn Superman bad. Like, oh, God. Like, it wasn't even as good as a bad Elseworld tale. And they had way too many tales that, like, right, like they couldn't even tell a proper story because every story wrapped up after about 3 to 4 pages. It was not done up to where I need it to be.
And I want to say, just for the record, it being 3 pages, it does not make it a bad story.
Right.
You just don't have the right person writing that story. Because you can make a fantastic horror story in 3 pages.
For sure. But, yeah, they didn't have the right teams together for whatever reason. Mm. I read The Spectre 54. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, that it makes me just want, like, I need a digital omnibus of all the Spectre comics, the Ostrander comic. Oh, my gosh. It was so good. And it was even, I think it was part 2 or 3 of a story. But yet, I got caught up real quick at the beginning, so I knew exactly what was going on. At the end, it didn't wrap up that storyline. It was sort of like just one of the middle pieces. But it told a complete story that made me want to read the comics before. Mm. And that came after. And that's what a good comic should do. Like, yeah. It has to be standalone as well as I want to read more or I want to go on further. And my God, it totally did it. Spectre 54, Mama Lucian. What a good story.
Is that not on Comixology?
Yeah, it is.
I mean, like an omnibus.
No, I don't believe that.
That's
a
shame.
I could be wrong. But I mean, I haven't even, and I've been wanting the Spectre for a couple of years, and you know how I am. I always look out for sales, and if it's a Batman sale, well, let me go into the single issues. Maybe they'll have some Teen Titan guest appearances that are really old that never get into a collection, and I'll just buy the individual ones. I've been looking for the Spectre stuff in those single areas for a couple of years, and it just doesn't seem like they ever hit Comixology. For whatever reason, unless it's like Blackest Night. If it's an event, yeah, those appear. But non-event stories like this one, no, they just don't appear. On sale, I should say.
So but it was great. I'm looking right now. They do have 2 volumes of the collected edition of Ostrander Spectre.
Nice. I might have to check out a sale coming up.
You might have a, you know, maybe Rosario Dawson will send you a copy.
Nah, she's too good. Oh, speaking of Rosario Dawson, did you see that her, Idris Elba, and Tom Middleditch, they're all in NBA 2K20.
What?
Yes! And they're not playing themselves, but they're part of the storyline when you build a character. Like, Rosario Dawson, she's your, I think, agent. And Idris Elba is the coach that you have a little bit of a conflict with before going to the NBA in college. You have a conflict with him. And Thomas Middleditch is, like, the guy that's driving you around to, like, press events. Because, you know, I don't know if, well, I don't, maybe you've never played a sports, modern sports game, quote-unquote. But 2K now does, like, you're creating your character by, like, oh, this reporter asks you, like, so, as a quarterback, how would you describe your leadership? And then you have, like, 5 skills. Mm. So you choose what's, oh, I'm a field general. And then that becomes part of your personality. So they're not like, oh, other than tall, like, your physical features, you get to make up. but then your personality, you know, are you a hothead? Are you laid back? Do you take control? Are you more passive? Like, all of that is these 6 or 7 personality questions. And I think that's what Thomas Middleditch, I think he's driving you around to like those type of things. But I was just shocked. Well, it was weird that you brought up Rosario Dawson, but I was like, that's Rosario Dawson. I was watching the trailer. I'm like, what the hell? It was awesome.
That's amazing. Well, yeah. I just spoke with Rosario Dawson, and she has sent you a copy of The Spectre Volume 1.
Oh, that's my girl. I'm her centaur.
That's hilarious.
Hey, okay, now let me just round this out real quick. Eerie Comics, number 3 from mm-hmm. Dark Horse. Mm-hmm. It was like a typical anthology. It had highs and it had lows. But overall, just to read, like, they had like a letters page. At the beginning, they had a little write-up from Ernie Eerie, you know, that mascot character. It brought me back to, like, this is what horror magazines used to be in, like, you know, the 80s and 90s. Just black and white. But the stories, they were up and down. Quality-wise, a little bit up and down. And right now I am reading, well, trying to think what am I reading? Gee, man, Christmas. Oh, I'm getting ready to start Moonshine.
Okay.
But what I just wrapped up was Andrew Shaw's Cul-de-Sac.
Very good.
Yeah, that was some good storytelling. And right. Even I was at Loyola with my wife. She was getting her blood checked, and while we were waiting, I was reading and like moving on, and she was sort of on her phone. And every once in a while, she would glance over and be like, wow, that's some good art. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really, really neat. And she was just entranced with the art until, like, whoop, and there's a shovel upside somebody's head. Whoop, there's somebody's head rolling across the ground. Like, up until the gore part, she was fascinated with it. Mm. The one, well, of course, I didn't tell her it was a horror comic, or she'd be like, what are you doing? But the one story the one panel I loved was, and I'm a dude, and I don't know how you are. For me, if I was to, and this goes back to me being 7 years old, the things I loved with early comics is here's a breakdown of the Justice League Hall of Justice or Justice League Satellite. And then they cut it in half, and then you see like, floor by floor, you know, here's the Batcave, and this is where the cars are stored, this is where the computer is, this is where the big nickel is. Like, I love that type of schematic look. I don't know what that would be called. I have no clue what that would be called. But I love that type of stuff. Like, even on t-shirts, I love getting, like, what an architect would draw, just those, like, thin lines and, like, all the math put to it and all the arrows and whatnot.
Yeah.
I love that type of graphic on a shirt. Like, that to me, that is just amazing. And in Cul-de-Sac, the one story that was involving the man making the bomb shelter.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then when he brought his family down, there was a cross-section, and you saw all the dirt. You saw up above, you saw the actual ground and how the like bomb shelter was laid out. And in the dirt, the artist drew this, like, it looked like a dead, almost like a, not a tauntaun, but like a saber-toothed tiger, mm-hmm. really far down in the ground. And then above that, and my wife saw that and she was like, oh, that's really cool. And I'm like, yeah, but did you see this? And above that was this little like lockbox that obviously somebody buried in the dirt, like 6 feet under for a rainy day, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, God, that's awesome. Like, I just put that on a t-shirt. It was beautiful, but the storytelling was really good. And the amount of storytelling without dialogue was fantastic.
Yeah. So yeah. It's hard to really convey the atmosphere without words. Mm-hmm. But I think Andrew is just a terrific writer, and he nails it in that book. And Will's art is just gorgeous.
Yeah, it was a perfect pairing, and I can't wait to read their next volume. So that was exciting to hear that there's another one coming.
And if you haven't read it, go to Comixology and get Cul-de-sac, all one word. It's cheap. What is it like? Yeah. It's nothing. It's like $3, right? Is that right? I'm pretty sure that's right.
It's like
it's $4.
Price of, yeah, it's like the price of one of issue number one digitally. You can have all the issues.
Yeah. Yes.
Which is crazy and fantastic, and I took advantage of it, and I was happy to. But it is one of those. It's so good that if they put extras in, sort of like Brubaker does with Sleeper or some of his noir stuff, where he has a lot of back matter, and so does Rucka. If Shaw did that, I would buy the physical copy just so I can read all the back matter.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking about this the other day. As you know, I'm reading almost entirely digital now. You've been entirely digital for a while. Mm-hmm. But I think like if there was more back matter in physical copies of books, mm-hmm. then I would be buying physical copies of books. And it's weird because, you know, I'm not a big extras guy, right? Like, you love the extras, like, mm-hmm. extended edition movies and whatever, director's yep. commentary. I don't really care too much about that. But in comics, I love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you want more of the process.
Yeah, yeah.
See, I would like it if the author just wrote and James Robinson did this with Starman. He would write back responses to letters, and then he would, if people asked like, oh, what was your influence, he would usually give them, you know, some sci-fi movie, or he would be like, oh, when I was writing that, I was listening to this jazz from the 1960s. And it was always like, well, what how do I need to listen to that? I think the last physical comic that really got me excited was God, what was it? Brubaker and Phillips did, I want to say, good God, what was it? I'm trying to think.
Criminal?
It might have been a Criminal issue. I want to say it was back that far. But they did a special version of a Criminal issue, but the size of those, like, Marvel, the Marvel magazines, almost square instead of rectangular.
Mm.
Remember those from, like, the 70s and
80s? Yeah.
They put that out, and they actually like did a watercolor cover, so it really looked like a Famous Monsters magazine or those like crime noir like magazines. Oh my God! I was like, I have to go pick that up right now.
That's awesome. Yeah, that this discussion came up two episodes ago on Aftershock Central because we talked about the new book Midnight Vista. That's like partially based on a true story. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to our chat with Elliot Rahal on the last episode, but he had a really interesting like alien abduction type story from when he was a kid.
Mm.
And this story is partially based on that personal experience. And I was going back and forth with him on DM about like putting that story as part of back matter. Because there's a ton of Easter eggs in that book that like if you know nothing about like alien abduction quote unquote culture you'll miss, you know what I mean? And I think it'd be like if you have this stuff in the back of the book to reference, you're like, oh well, why are they talking about midnight in the desert? Like, what the hell is that? Like, why is Phoenix being brought up? And I would love to see that in the books. Even myself that's interested in that kind of thing, just have it there for like, let me flip back and forth and see what Elliot said about this, right? Like, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Or like, even in the trade, it doesn't have to be in the single issues, but like some cool back matter in the trade, I think would be awesome. And he said he thought about it. He says maybe for the trade, they're going to put a QR code at the back of the book, so you can scan the code and like watch a video of him explaining it. I think that'd be awesome too.
Yeah, that would be cool. I guess Brubaker and Rucka do just the opposite because they want people to buy the floppies.
Right.
So they offer all that back matter. And then I think they're just finally releasing criminal back matter on, I want to say, omnibuses or hardbacks. Mm. They're finally putting it into a collection, where before you could only get it if you had the floppies, which, guess what? It's hard to pass that up.
You know, Bendis was doing that. You know, they relaunched the Jinx imprint at DC.
Mm-hmm.
And he was putting back matter in from, like, just whatever the hell he wanted. Because he's Bendis, and he can do whatever he wants, I guess.
Yeah.
So there was, like, I think there was, like, an unpublished Batman story, maybe. Like, there were bits of it in the back of it. There was stuff from, like, other non-Jinx books that he had worked on, like, back matter on that. And, because, I mean, he knows, right? Like, people are buying these books because they're Bendis fans. So, like, why not give them extra Bendis stuff?
As well as you want to get your core fans who have already bought three versions of that story.
Right, yeah.
A reason to buy the new version.
Yep, yep.
Yeah.
I thought it was really interesting the way he did it. And it wasn't anything big either.
I do love, like, when creators include the proposal. Like, Grant Morrison did that for Invisibles. And to read his proposal for that is like, oh my God, that is... How did Karen Berger read that and be like, yep, that's what I want to do. Put my stamp on that. But thank God they did. Knock on wood.
Sure, sure, sure. That's funny. I didn't know that. I'm going to have to find it.
Yeah, you should.
Huh.
Scripts are one thing, but to actually read a proposal, that's pretty fascinating.
Yeah, I've been reading some scripts in order to get the formatting correctly for this Top Cow Hunt thing.
Cool.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Hmm.
I got a bunch of Paul Jenkins scripts because he worked on Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Some Phil Hister stuff.
Nice.
So yeah, it's interesting too because there's different ways to format a script, and I'll have to adjust a little bit.
Sure.
I've tried working on comic strips before in that kind of format, and the way that I like to do it, kind of. I need to have an artist that can understand what I'm saying because I like to leave a lot of the interpretation up to the artist. But what they're looking for example, in this thing is like you give your panel, how many panels on the page, you describe each panel, like the writer is doing all the work basically. So it's going to take some adjustment on my side.
My guess is you can tell, you have a story that you can tell, but can you also work this version that works a little bit more of your brain than just the writer brain?
Right.
Can you put that puzzle piece that's the page? Can you describe that clearly to somebody?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
Back to your, Aftershock example with this author explaining the, alien abduction?
Yeah.
I had a similar thing go on when you were in Nanda Parbat.
You got abducted by aliens?
No, with Gundy, because we were talking, and at the end of the episode, I'm like, hey, just to let you know, I understand what you said there, but the listener doesn't understand what you said there. I went through that experience that you're talking about, but just because I know what Three Floyds beer is doesn't mean that somebody who Three Floyds isn't being distributed to Maine, let's say, they don't know what that is. So like by not describing what they are or their like philosophy or whatever, like people don't know who that is.
Hmm.
So you have to lay it out. Like they know what a stout beer is or an IPA. You would hope they would.
Sure.
But I'm like, just pretend like you're telling me and I just landed on the planet. Like, don't worry. If you have to over-explain something or explain something twice, don't worry. The listener can always fast forward or they can turn it off. I don't care.
Sure.
But you have to be able to paint that picture in somebody's head.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, that can be difficult sometimes, though.
Oh, for sure.
It can be difficult. Hmm.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, especially like it's easy for us to come off of C2E2 and have all these inside jokes and whatnot, but if you're not willing to share the context with the listener, then don't mention the inside jokes.
That's why I wonder sometimes when we talk about people by name, right? I think we've gotten pretty good at explaining who we're talking about. Because, we know who we're talking about. But sometimes people have no idea.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's the Stan Lee philosophy that I always said is the correct philosophy. Don't believe it.
No, it is not.
Anyone can be the first time listener.
It has ruined comic books.
Excelsior.
Rip Stan Lee, but it ruined comic books. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
No, trust. Hey, you're talking to the guy who's currently, he's on hiatus, but he's going to be getting back to it in about a month. But I'm reading the Crisis on Infinite Earth compendium for God. People think they're not like, oh my God, there's some blowhard pages of move over Louise Simonson because my God, these people love to vomit out word bubbles like they're going out of style.
Yes, they did. I've got that on my list for things to reread. I don't know when it's going to happen, though.
I would highly recommend those compendiums. I got news for you. They will put you right back into that era. It's great reading.
Is it on sale on Comixology right now? Let's find out.
I don't think so.
Probably not.
But next time I see it, I'll let you know. Because I think you would enjoy it. You'd get a kick out of some of the story points.
Oh, come on. It's only $18?
Really? The compendiums?
Is this a compendium?
I don't know.
What's happening here?
Because there's quite a few issues in that. If that's $18, that's a good deal.
All right. Here we go. 30th Anniversary Deluxe Edition. What is that? What does that mean?
That is the reissue of the event.
Okay, yes, 12 issues. All right. 35th Anniversary Deluxe.
Yep.
That looks the same. What's this one? This one just says Crisis on Infinite Earths. It's issue 1 through 12.
That sounds like Crisis on Infinite Earth, not compendium.
All right, here we go. Crisis on Infinite Earths Companion Deluxe Volume 1. Nope, that's not it either.
No. It's very confusing. Hello. If you type in Crisis on Infinite Earth, you'll get the results. Go to Series, click on Series, and then go down to Collected Editions. And there's actually going to be – there's a third volume coming out, I think, at the end of the month.
Gotcha.
But right now, Volume 1 is normally $49.99, and it's $40. Volume 2 is $49.99, now $37. But – did I find both on sale for $9.99?
Yes, I did. Dang.
I'm just saying, you would enjoy these. And I mean, like Crisis on Infinite Earth, the first volume has 10 All-Star Squadron issues. It's a good one.
Dang. All right, I'm looking on the old Amazon. Nope, that's not going to work.
I'll keep my eye out. You can get those on sale.
Crisis on Infinite Earths box set.
Ooh, all three?
Oh, that's not out yet. November 12th.
Oh, okay.
Whoa, what's included? This is nice.
Yeah, what is that?
What does it include? Hello, come on. Read more. Oh, Jesus, it's too many issues. It's like a whole page describing every issue in here. Yeah, this is every fucking thing.
Including the compendiums?
Everything.
Oh my God, that's the way to do it.
All in hardcover, $350.
Ooh, hardcover too.
And you gotta see this box. It is sweet looking.
Well, you know why they're doing that. Since they're doing the little crossover on the WB, why not?
Oh, bam, see? So I just gotta wait till November and get those on sale.
$350, but normally $500. Ooh, holy Christ. But that box does look freaking sweet. Right? Oh my God. Put that in the show notes.
All right. Let me put that in the show notes before I forget.
Whoa, did you see it opened?
Uh-uh.
There's two pictures.
Oh,
check out the second image.
Hello!
Look at that!
That is sweet!
Dude! Oh my God, and that's exactly how I want to read it. See, now the compendiums, the problem with the compendiums, and I think I told you this last time, like there's 10 All-Star Squadrons. But like three of the issues are pre-Crisis, like the Red Skies appearing. And then like there's a couple issues where Harbinger comes in. And then all of a sudden, like, the last three issues are the aftermath issues. And this seems like it has taken the titles and, like, you have volume 1 through 6, and then all the All-Star Squadron, then the event, and then Green Lantern. I just wonder if they put it in chronological order. Except, you know what I want? I want that last volume. Crisis on Infinite Earth Behind the Crisis. Oh, my God.
All right, I had to tease it out on Twitter.
Oh, damn it.
I said, did I buy something while recording? Tune in next week to Nerdy Legion to find out. And I put a picture of that box opened.
Oh, 14-volume box set. Mamacita.
To answer the question, I have not bought it yet.
It is not out. That's the only reason you didn't buy it.
Well, sure, but I mean, I could pre-order it.
You could pre-order it.
Mm.
How much is that off?
$150, that's 30%.
Oh, you know you can go to In-Stock Trades. They'll have that for 50. No doubt about it. When that thing gets released, it'll be 50% off. I'm just saying. Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. Something that big? Yeah. Right.
Let me see if you can pre-order it from In-Stock Trades.
Mamacita.
They don't have the box set on In-Stock Trades.
As you're like, baby, you know I never want anything for my birthday or Christmas. I don't want any of that. But here's a little thing that it comes out in November. Perfect for the Christmas tree.
How big is it? Well, I mean, they're trades, so this box is fucking huge.
It has to be gigantic. I mean, come on, 14 volumes.
Oh, my God.
But that is so... Oh, here we go. Product dimensions. 6.6 by 10.2 inches. That doesn't give me any information.
That doesn't tell you how big the box is. That's just the size of the trade.
That's the size of the trade. I need the depth. You gave me width and length. I need depth. That's what I need. 17. Oh, mother effer. I really want to read that darn Behind the Crisis. Are you fucking kidding?
I mean, surely somebody's got better dimensions than that. Here, let me see here. Let's see if this place has it.
Before you leave Amazon, did you click on the read more?
Yes.
Oh my God. Just to see how many titles are included in this. Oh my God. Come on. Oh, it's beautiful.
All right. This box set will never be reprinted.
Remember DC said that when they first reissued Crisis? Remember that version that was hardback, first time in hardback, and it was the silver cover? Remember that?
Yes.
Because I pre-ordered that because they even said, this will not be reprinted. And in my stupid fanboy head, how I read that was Crisis on Infinite Earth will never be reprinted. Speed forward, 20 years? And that thing has been reissued probably 6 times since then.
All right, Nick, I have exact dimensions for you.
Hello, come in.
All right, these will be available in comic shops November 6th.
Oh, God, my birthday's so close to that. That's birthday to me.
Amazon will begin shipping them November 12th. You can also get it from Barnes & Noble for the same price,
$350. Oh, God.
All right. Here's the actual dimensions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is 12 and a half inches high.
Okay.
By 13 and a half inches wide.
12 by 15. Okay.
By 8 inches deep.
8 inches deep.
Yeah. So the width of the trade is 12 and a half by 8. And then,
so they're a little oversized?
Yes.
Oh,
and then when you put them all together, it's 13 and a half inches.
You know what the problem is right now?
What?
And I know you look at stuff on your computer. God love you. But I have a tablet, and you know how big my dimensions on my tablet screen is?
Huh.
It ain't 12 and a half. It ain't. No matter how far I pinch and poke it, it ain't 12 and a half. Damn it!
This box set, you want to guess a weight?
Ooh, oh, I love this. Okay. All right, figure. Let's just say half a pound per and there's 17, so that's 8.5 pounds. The box is pretty hefty. Tack on 3 pounds. Alex Trebek, I will go with 13 pounds.
You are not even close, my friend.
Wow! Okay, go ahead, hit me.
Weight, approximately 28 pounds.
Son of a bee. Oh, they are all hardbacks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't add that in.
28 pounds, Nick.
Dang it. Oh, you're so selling me. I need a job. Legionnaires, give me a job. Darn it. I need all the money so for this.
You wouldn't even need to unwrap this box. If you see a box and you try to pick it up and you get a hernia, congratulations, you have received a box set of Crisis on Infinite Earths.
But see, that's how I can sell it to the wife, because I'm always afraid that as you well know from our last conversation during spooky time, how I heard a voice outside and on my patio. and I also told you I'm always afraid that somebody's going to break in and in like our basement and then come in. Home invasion is a real fear for me.
Sure.
So instead of trying to sell her like, hey, we need this baseball bat upstairs, because if somebody breaks in, what was his bat called in The Natural? Was
it like, I remember that.
Big Thunder or something like that, lightning stick, something like that.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I don't need to be swinging around lightning stick. I could have this big ass 22-pound box set and just throw it at the mother effer. Get out of here! And then I'll trap him under the box set while I call 911.
You don't need to do that. You just place this box behind the door and they will never be able to open it.
That's true. See, this is a selling point right here.
Mm-hmm. Home security. Brought to you by DC Comics.
Who needs ADT? I love it. Oh, I never even knew this thing was coming out, but my God, that looks pretty.
It's nice.
Doesn't that, just the colors on that box set, doesn't it almost look like you're looking at it in Technicolor?
Hell
like those
yeah.
Colors look so vibrant.
I just had an idea. Can you buy replica mother boxes?
Yes
you
I'm
can.
I'm sure you can.
$45. So I think what I'm going to do is get this box set and 3 replica mother boxes.
Ooh.
And make a display out of it on my bookshelf.
That would look so good in your office.
Oh.
Golly, I'm just looking at the zoomed in artwork. Man, on the front cover to the right, on the upper right side, you see Flash.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, that looks so good. He's in the Speed Force. He's gone. Let's not talk about this event, because all it's going to do is make me want to leave Halloween-y books and go straight into my compendium to get to the event. Dang it! Trust me, it's hard enough reading Halloween-y stuff when I go to bed. I get very tense and nervous. It's hard to relax.
I bet.
So, I mean,
I'm surprised
you're
doing it.
I know. I'm trying my best, buddy. I really am. But it's getting into my head. It's like an earworm.
All right. I placed this on my shared Martin's want list.
I thought you put it like in your shopping cart. So the next time your wife like puts in, like, I need these like wraps. I need these whole grain wraps. So I'm just gonna get them through Amazon. Hey, wait, what's in this saved in cart thing? What is this? Not that I've ever done it, but I've done that.
Yes. No, I stuff that I don't want to get immediately, I place in Martin's wish list on Amazon.
Mm.
And that list is shared among all my family members. So that way they never need to ask me, well, what should I get Martin? They just look at my list and order me something.
Oh my God, that's so good.
So now what I need to do is buy everything else that I have on that list.
Yes.
So the only item is this box set.
And then you're forcing everyone to like talk to communicate with each other to be like, look, I'll put $30 in on this box set.
See?
All right, I'll put $50 in on this box set.
You got it.
It's like a your very own GoFundMe page.
You got it.
But instead of buying like designer, like you want to buy the brand new like Nike limited shoes, instead of like doing a GoFundMe for that, you're like, can somebody just buy this box set for me? I'm a poor boy.
All right, so I looked at my list. Apparently, I already had bought everything on my list. The only thing I had on there was a Tibetan singing bowl and this Crisis on Infinite Earths box set. So I bought a Tibetan singing bowl, and the only thing on this list now is the box set.
Okay, let me throw this out to you.
Uh-huh.
How quickly could you move on creating a flash event? Meaning, can you propose to your wife, hey, I was thinking maybe we should renew our vows. I'm sort of thinking right around like the November 10th time period. I've already started this community list. Of course, honey, you can add a Cuisinart to that list. Oh, for sure. Oh, and you also want a brand new Breaking Bad box set? Yeah. Add that to it, too. But let's invite everybody, and it's going to be a blowout party, but not really. It's just going to be hosted in my garage. But everyone, more than welcome to chip in on this housewarming / renew our vows present.
I like it.
That would be fantastic. And then all you'd have to do is go to your grocery store with a PDF of whatever. Well, what's your favorite Crisis on Infinite Earth cover?
Oh, is that like an actual question or a rhetorical question?
No. That's an actual question.
Oh, hell, I don't know. There's so many books.
Okay, well, then let's just say it's number one. You take the PDF of number one to your grocery store, and then they can laser etch it onto a cake, and that's the most money you spend on it.
Amazing.
You're just like, hey, thanks for renewing our vows. You guys are the best. Oh, and you got me this box set. Oh, look at my cake. How did you guys even know?
You are a genius.
But you got to whip that party out pretty quick. That's why I'm calling it a flash party instead of a flash mob.
You are a genius. I'll try it. Let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I can only hope that the wife will be up for that.
She's still mad about how much money I spent at C2E2, so.
Did you tell her buckle up, because that'll be happening in about 5 months, so.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy.
Well, I told her she dodged a bullet with my birthday present, because I was just going to buy that Werewolf by Night, and I didn't do it.
Oof. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. It's okay. I mean, this is peanuts compared to that, you know what I mean?
That's true. Well, actually, you know, that's what you should do.
Oh, that's how I word it.
But in the list, in that want list, you just throw a link to Werewolf by Night. And when people see that price, then they'll be like, this Crisis on Infinite Earths box, that's a deal.
Yeah.
And it's 40% off. So, well, let's pull the trigger on that.
There you go. Pretty smart.
Yep.
Pretty smart. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. If I don't get it for Christmas, I'm going to be very upset.
I hope you get it for Christmas. You know what I hope that behind the crisis is? I hope it's all new stuff with a lot of text. What I'm anticipating that it probably will be is all of the information, all the back matter content from the last few reissues. So it'll just be like, here's all the sketches, like all the stuff that we've already seen umpteen times. In those trades. My fingers are crossed that it's brand new stuff, but I could also see it going the other way.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they're going to reach out to like collectors of all these pages and try to get them like IDW does for those artist series.
Does it not say in the solicit what it is?
I couldn't see any information on it.
Might have to reach out and find out.
Excuse me, Johnny DC. Let me ask you.
Yo, Jim Lee, what's up with this book? What you got going on over here?
I reached out to George Perez, and guess what? He gave me the cold shoulder, so I thought, I'm going to go to the top. And old Mr. Hollywood, Jeff Johns over there, he doesn't even return my call.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I got to say, your paperboy impression is impeccable.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. It's a paperboy from the 40s.
Oh, okay.
Yo, you want to buy the paper? Buy the paper. It's only 25 cents.
I was going more for a non-nursery rhyme Andrew Dice Clay. Because the 1940s, see, would be more like this, see?
Oh, that's true. That is true.
You know, listen, all you mutton heads, get in line, see? Or I'll be pushing out some of this mouth breather and filling you cats full of holes.
I don't know if you know this, but the accent that is used in all the movies of the 30s and 40s is a fake accent.
No, really?
And it wasn't even created by an American. It was created by an Australian.
Jimmy Durante and what's the other guy? The mobster actor. God, I can't even think of his name. He did Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Sure, I don't know.
Shit, I can't recall. But those were absolutely put on accents. Just like most of the actors in, if you ever watched the Three Stooges short.
Of course,
like,
I did.
Oh my God, Mr. Curly. Like, that's that guy's real voice? Come on. Heavens to Murgatroy.
Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus.
we're both Mel Blanking it up tonight. Hollywood, here I come. Johnny Thousand Voices over here.
Now I want to go watch some 40s mafia movies.
Hey, there's some good ones. Come on.
Oh, I'm sure there are.
Good noir films right there.
I got to watch this new Vox mini documentary about gangster kids in Calabria, Italy. I'm pretty sure my ex-father-in-law's family might be on there.
What documentary?
On Vox, the Vox YouTube channel.
Okay.
Or no, on Vice. It's on Vice.
Oh, Vice.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah. They have a documentary about the Italian gangster kids of Calabria.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'll allow that shit.
Watch that shit.
I'll allow it.
All right, I think we're going to wrap up, Nick.
Hey, let's wrap up, Martin.
Thank you for listening to the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick Wetmore, brought to you by Gods and Gears. Go get your Gods and Gears from your comic shop. Go to alternative.comics.com and order it there. It's $1.50. What's wrong with you? You don't want to spend $1.50 on comics? You don't want to support indie comics? Shame on you. Get off this podcast. You can, of course, find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy_Legion. Is that right? I don't even know what's happening anymore. I'm so confused.
I don't know. or you can write us at hello@nerdylegion.com, because just this week I wrote to that address.
Yes.
And I went right into Martin Ferretti's mail slot.
Yes, if you want to actually have your mail read by me, then you email nerdylegion.com. Because if you send me personal email, I'll probably never read it.
Because I wrote Gmail, and he said, that's garbage. Get rid of that.
I do have a personal email, but it's not a Gmail. I never read it.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.